Talk Radio.
Deborah's back.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm waking up.
More than an hour I'll make it, but I really wanted to come and hang out with everyone, and any poems that I can't squeeze into an hour, I'm going to move over till Wednesday night because there's an empty show slot, and get those poems read. I want to remind you all how much I appreciate all the poetry that you share and your time, and I appreciate you all very, very much. And, you know, when we started this, I picked a few people to be on the board, and from a whole other coast all the way out in California, the first person I reached out to got sick at the same time as me. But luckily for both of us, we had AP and my suite, and they did a hell of a job keeping everything going while we were out sick. And I appreciate them both very much. And they are a couple of the smartest moves I made when I decided to try this radio gig on another channel. But So I'm going to save my voice and let some of these people in, and let's hear some poetry. If you need to call, the number is 1-646-668-2837. And we'd be glad to hear from you. And let me just dive right in here, speaking of that sweet. Hi, my sweet. Welcome to the show.
Hi, honey.
Good to hear you. Let me keep
you.
The line going. I have the dynamic duo, Stephen and Kay. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
And, of course, I forgot to say that I am here with my big brother, Heather.
I thought you forgot me.
I know. I'm sorry. My brain's not totally in it. I'm trying.
No. It's all good.
And right behind the dynamic duo is Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Dave. Hope you get well soon.
Me too. Hey, you doing better? I know you had it too.
Yeah, I'm doing better. I'm still short-winded, but I'm doing a lot better, but I'm short-winded.
Yeah, I feel you. I get that too, but it just seems like every time you think you're over it, something else hits. So I'm in day 17. Unbelievable. I hope nobody gets it. And I'm vaccinated, so anyway. I'm due for the booster in February, so I guess that sounds fun. And right behind Wayne is Frank. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hello there. Hello, everyone.
Hi. Do you hear me?
Yes, I'm just dealing with an ear infection on one of my ears. I'm trying to just, you know, not use one of the, you know, one of my sides, on the side of the ear. So I'm trying to listen from just one side.
Okay. Yeah, well, I have to keep mine on speaker because I have an ear infection in each ear, no fun at all. I got every single female symptom.
Yeah.
On that list.
Well, it's more of a,
today I learned of a horrifying one that some men get.
Yeah, it's more of an earache at the moment. I mean, it hasn't gotten to that worse yet, but I'm trying to limit, you know, how much I can spend on the airwaves and, you know, trying to use, you know, one ear. Try not to abuse too much of that ear.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I want to try and squeeze in some poems, and I think I can only last about an hour, so I think I better get rolling along. But I'm thrilled everyone's here, and I'm going to go directly over and grab Kay's poem and put it on the board, and we'll get this going. As soon as I'm there, so no voices. And thank you, Marius. I'm trying. Okay, here comes. Okay, Stephen, if you would hand the phone to your lovely wife, please.
Okay, hopefully Vicky behaves. If you hear a cat, that's just Vicky. Okay, yeah. I call us Heels of Placid Penchance. Coal burning stove, flutes the wooden grains, stained imperfections, knotted and streaks of curves. Beneath the frames of where dust bunnies hide, is a weathered treasure chest, a trove of countryside's youth, and the distance of the pale wind, bells chime, mantel clock of a seaside remembered, tallows of dusk, tidy and quartered, as frosty elms illuminate the window panes of eye, stenciled in turquoise frost, as a crackle of waves add in their tranquility and sounds and poems.
Thank you. I like the where dust bunnies hide in the weather's treasure chest, a trove countryside youth, in the distance of the pale wind bells chime. But I really like, where does it go? Frosty elms illuminate the window panes of eyes, stenciled in turquoise frost. And it does look like frost in the photo. I thought the sky was amazing on this one. I'm trying to remember where, which lighthouse this was. I like what you brought the picture. But I'm really taken by that stenciled frost, stenciled turquoise frost.
Yes.
The first line, coal burning stove flutes the wooden grains. You can think about it. It does look like there could be a fireplace burning in there. So all the little nuances that you brought in, pull this from the photo and bring it to life. But like I said, between the dust bunnies that are hiding and those stenciled turquoise eyes and frost, I know. Oh, and it's pending. Congratulations. The good, the bad, and the ugly. If my memory serves me, that means it's a 10, too. Another one who can do a 10 with so few words. That's impressive because it's so much harder. Excellent share. Thank you so much for writing for the show. I appreciate it. Let me get you some comments. Let me grab the line just a moment. AP, welcome to the show.
No, I'm here, Deb. Good to have you back on. I'm just here just in case you need a reading voice or a comment voice or something, and you know, you get a little bit husky, so to speak.
Awesome. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm gonna try and last a whole hour and see how that goes. So I'm glad you're here. Do you want to comment for Kay?
Yeah, no, I do. I'm with you, actually, Deb. I mean, it's the thing with a brevity is that you've got to make each of the words count, and they've got to actually paint a picture. And it's interesting because this poem does, but it doesn't in a way that is a little unusual in the use of words. I love the crackle of waves and the tranquility in their sounds because there's something about the use of the words there that actually makes you actually think of the way the sea works, and it sort of changes around from what you would normally see. And I think for me that's the nice thing about the what Kay does. She uses words and she changes them around into contexts, and so she makes you think about things, and that's great poetry.
Thank you, AP.
Awesome comment. And I don't know if you heard the beginning, AP, but I made a fuss over you and Sweet and shouted out about how much I appreciated you two for holding things down while I'm trying to get better.
We didn't do very much. We just sort of, you know, kept the wolves from the door, Deb, as much as we could, you know, and occasionally wolves got through and we just bat them on the backside and put them out the other side. So, you know, we didn't do much.
I bet you Amadeus helped with that too.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Chasing off those wolves. Wayne, would you like to comment for Kay, please?
Yes, I think this is an interesting poem. I like the way it ended with the crackle of waves adding to the tranquility and sounds. If I set the mood for the whole poem, to me, it's give a good end to the poem and set a good mood for the poem. Good job, Kay. Enjoyed it.
Fabulous comment, and I'm going to keep them to like two or three each so that I can squeeze a few extra poems. So, Stephen, while I grab yours, will you comment for Kay, please?
Sure. And just to let you know, I looked it up. It was the old Scituate Lighthouse in Massachusetts. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, but you're welcome. I told you in my comment, hon, that your words took me right inside the house. I could hear the ticking of the clock on the desk, and it was a very cozy feeling listening to the waves in the sea of your creation. I thought this was really awesome.
Thank you.
Great comment. If you see yours, take us away, and thank you, Kay.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And I chose the Bailey Lighthouse in Ireland, and I call this The Ancestral Beacon Beckons. Far across the white-capped sea, a tall lighthouse does call to me. On cliffs before a land that's green, my ancestors had daily seen. Dance the jig on fairy mounds, or fear the weeping banshee sounds. balance on dry walk wall, rock wall fence, with head above cool fog so dense. Lay lips upon the Blarney stone, finally call this place my home. Sleep beneath a thick thatched roof, sheltered from prankish hookah's hoof. Perhaps one day I'll espy from deck bright beacon that prevents shipwreck. Be welcomed onto emerald shores and live on lineal land once more. End poem.
Great rhyming, Stephen. You got a 10, too. I don't think lately that you and your wife bring anything but 10s anymore. I like the rhyme and the flow and the dedication to the lighthouse itself. I like the dance of jig on fairy mounds, the fear, the weeping banshee sounds, balance on dry rock wall fence with head above cool fog so dense. There was it was a little scary because you got the thought of the banshee on your mind, and then you picture that fog that you can't really see through and you feel like you're in smoke. So the visuals there are really cool, and that you think about how many times nobody would have been able to see a damn thing if it weren't for that lighthouse, that beacon that beckons at the tip of the rocks. So I like that, and sheltered from prankish puka hoofs. I like the words that you used in the ending. Be welcome onto emerald shores and live on live on lineal land once more. It's like a little homage and pay of respect there at the end. I think that it might sound strange, but in my heart, lighthouses are the lost heroes of the sea, because before fancy radar and sonar and this nar and that nar, you'd have to depend on that light and that lighthouse keeper that kept the light, even in the roughest of winds and storms and stuff. So I have a soft spot in my heart for lighthouses, which many of us do, and I was hoping somebody would take the Cape May lighthouse, but there were so many to choose from, but the sky is incredible for that. I think that's the closest one to me right now, or maybe Abseekin, but we have several. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting sidetracked here, but it's a beautiful share, and well-deserved 10. Thank you very much for writing for the show. And let me get a comment from Sweet, please. My Sweet?
Unmute.
Yeah, unmute. First off, I think this is grand in imagery. It's full of Irish lore and metaphor, and I really enjoyed your interaction between the two legends, just the legend of Ireland, and, you know, you've got the Blarney Stone, and you've got the jigs, and you've got the fairies, and you've got the banshees, and what the representation of the lighthouse itself and what it does, and, you know, bringing people from the sea, especially Ireland, and the danger of that were the white caps and the rocky shores and all of that. So the way you intertwined and interacted through all that, I thought that was pretty brilliant throughout the film.
Awesome comment. Hatter, you comment for Stephen?
Yeah, the question, what's puka? Is that
It likes to play jokes on you. It usually takes the form of a horse and likes to mess with you.
Okay. That makes sense. No, complete. You said this lighthouse is Ireland over the Irish Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the deal with the Blarney Stone? I heard some other. What is the Blarney Stone anyway?
It's quite a hike to get to it up a like almost like a mountainside into a castle up there. And I know you have to lay down and in a not a very safe spot to actually lay lips on it because of where it's at. You kind of get underneath it and give it a kiss, and it's supposed to bring you luck, I believe. You're supposed to get very good luck. Yeah. No, I don't do it much when you're improving.
Yeah, it's that right. Blurdy.
And can I get a comment from Wayne?
Yes. I said, this is a wonderful poem. I like the balance, the rhyme. But most of all, I like the storyline. It reads perfectly well, and it's a good job with it, Steve. It makes a lot of sense, and it's good to the history there. I enjoyed the poem. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. Now, Steve, I'm going to do this a little weird. I'm going to have Kay comment, and you tell us about what's coming up, and then I'll have Sweet comment before she reads.
Well, okay. Yeah, I like how this reads because I know that you brought in, you know, your heritage, the Irish roots. I like how you bring in some of the Irish terminology because I know every year on March rolls around, you definitely embrace all things Irish, your heritage to begin with. So I like you speak about perhaps one day you'll be there.
I still look at house prices there every now and then.
I know. It's
that's awesome.
Thanks, son.
And Stephen, you want to tell us what's up? Oh, yeah. Duh. Stephen,
okay.
You want to tell us what's up over there?
Yeah, our next show is Wednesday at
10 p.m.
10 p.m. It's the Poetic Inklings. It's our one-word prompt. That word is brumous, and that's an adjective that means winter days, sunless skies. I'm sorry, I'm not on the page to actually look at the exact, but that's kind of what it means.
Yeah.
Check it out. And just to let Hatter know, I did drop a picture of somebody kissing the Blarney Stone on the Team of Voices wall if you want to look at it.
Yeah.
And that's what I got.
If you ever read what they found on the Blarney Stone, I don't think you'd be doing much kissing. Just saying.
Yeah, that's a fact.
If you ever read what they found on people's lips, you probably wouldn't be doing a lot of kissing.
Yeah, that's true too, but not too many people have kissed have urine on their lips, just saying.
That's true. I would give you that.
Since I messed up with the order of the commenting, let me get one more comment for Stephen from Frank, and then you can read.
By all means, first of all, let me say hello to Stephen and Kay. I just want to say this, that you certainly brought memories to me. I've been to Ireland. I've not been that many times, but I've been there. And the countryside, and as well, you know, the when you get out there and see, you know, the ocean as well, it is a beautiful image there. So this whole poem just took me to the ocean, took me back to Ireland here. And it had certainly that Irish feel, the connection there, the history and the lore. But I like the way you also brought in the aspect of a paying homage as well to the denizens, you know, the people there. You know, people in Europe, in particular, in these parts of, you know, secluded parts of the world, in Ireland, and live in small villages, you know, and when they're not in the cities. And they really, really enjoy nature and they enjoy the surroundings. And you bring this whole notion of the banshee, you bring as well the tootka, you bring just the lore of Ireland in this poem as well, not only with the people, but also the history as well. It was just a sensational poem. And I do hope one of these days that both of you get a chance to go out there, and even for a brief period, and enjoy particularly enjoy the sea, I mean the ocean from where they're at, or even the sea, there's, you know, depending where you're at.
Thank you, Frank. I think if I ever get there, though, I won't come back.
Yeah, well, I definitely, yeah. I'm not going to say, I would definitely understand that, definitely.
Awesome comment. And I'm looking forward to that show about the Brahmas because it gave me an excuse to write about those freaky sculptures that ICE made on the beach in Michigan by the lake recently.
Oh,
so, yeah, I tied it into those. They're fascinating. And then the sun comes and melts it all away.
Yeah.
So thank you both for calling. And I know you've been on the radio all night, so if you can't stay, I understand, and I will talk to you both soon. Love and respect. And my sweet, please show us what you got.
Okay, this is Marblehead Lighthouse that sits off right outside of Sandusky, Ohio. Twilight flirted with the Ohio horizon, dancing across the waves of Lake Erie as the skies grew dark on burgundy wine. Palettes of a storm, mysterious blues and blacks raged a mandate for center stage, stirring up water tantrums, smashing, clashing in contoured shades of gray. Waves roared and cradled rocks to and fro. By the hands of a dead man's toe, sailors seek the dark lantern's glow. Keeper of the 50-foot limestone candelabra, lit 13 wicks in oil of whale. Dare no ships to depart fresh air. For cold water, mausoleums, and poems.
Wow. You know, something in my mind is triggered by those 13 wicks, and I don't know why. So I have to look that up. Is there something, or do you know?
I don't know. It's just that's what he did.
Hmm. No, I think I like the story that you told. I like the history in it. 13 wicks. I know I've heard this story before. I can't. It's going to drive me nuts now.
13 is bad, or it's a coven. It's another number of a coven, right? So it's
yeah.
Something to do with witches.
It just happened to be 13 wicks in this. But Lake Erie has like the most dense shipwrecks in all the Great Lakes, and in a lot of bodies of water. They estimate anywhere from 500 to 2,000 shipwrecks in the bodies of Lake Erie, in the waters of Lake Erie. It's insane.
Yeah, I had read some of the history of some of the ships that are somewhere, and the Great Lakes themselves have many, many, all of them, the famous ones and ones we've never heard of. I just, 1819, the one you're referring to, well, the history that's in the bottom of those lakes is incredible, and I've seen some of the underwater shots and stuff, but I like how you brought this, the history and the mystery and the colors and the blues and the blacks raged. And like I said, something in me triggered now. I'm going to have to do some research later to see why that 13 wick in the oil lamps is striking me so much. And I'm always fascinated with your three-line stanzas, sweet.
Thank you.
Waves roared and the cradles rocked to and fro. I mean, you set the scene. You gave us sights and sounds and heritage and history, and I love the information that you shared in the author's notes, too. Great job. Let me get you some comments. Stephen, You comment for Kay, please? Sweet, I'm losing
yeah.
it. Sorry.
That's all right. I like this a lot, and the 13 wicks and the whale oil. I mean, that's just the way the lighthouses used to be lit. They're almost like big, like the pump lanterns, that my Coleman lanterns. They're almost like gigantic those up inside there before they went to electric. So I'm thinking that's where you're going. But I like this a lot because, you know, scenes that I'm no stranger to, obviously, since Kay and I spend a lot of summer evenings right there on the lake.
Yeah.
Checking it out, and the little harbor town I grew up in had two lighthouses, so I mean, I've seen quite a bit of those as well. Your imagery not only brings in the beautiful sunsets over Lake Erie, sweet, but you also definitely bring in how angry Lake Erie can get, and so quickly she does get angry as well. This is very, very cool.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Is Kay still with you?
Yes. I like how you bring in Ohio with the facts that it's its own era of life. I really like the line, skies grew drunk on burgundy wine, palates of the storm, mysterious blues, and blacks raged. A mandate for center stage, clean up water tantrums, smashing, clashing, and contoured shades of gray. The metaphors of the water, I said, the personification of its movements, to add your voice to its history, of a storyline and its characteristics of charm that flirts through. It really adds a great factor to the rate.
Thank you. Really appreciate that, Kay.
Awesome comment. AP, will you comment for Sweet?
Yeah, well, you're not going to be greatly surprised when I go to the third stanza, Sweet, because I just think it's nice that, you know, Hatter and I and a few of the other folk are sort of rubbing off on you, and we have a sort of completely rhyming triplet there. So very nice to be done.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Rubbing off on each other is a good thing. Before I get another comment, Blue, is that you? Hal?
Yeah, I had to unmute myself. Yes, it is.
Okay. Apologize for leaving you on hold so long. I'm a little off my game, but I'm glad you're here. I'm just about to get another comment for Sweet Pea. And Wayne, as the next reader, will you comment for Sweet Pea, please?
Sure will. Better come in history class time. I learned a lot about Hilati Lighthouses in the history because, but it's enjoyable. A great description and picture. The waves roar and the cradle rocks to and fro by the hands of the dead man's toe. Wonderful read right there. It's a great line. And the performance is very colorful, and you read it so well. Great job, the Sweet.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, yours is on the board.
Okay. Mine's called Battling at the Seashore. And so it goes like this. Sturdy lighthouse tickled the crimson sky as the golden sunset waves its last goodbye. With ebony darkness covers the reflected waters, listen to the clapping of seals and squeals of sea otters. Wet rocky warriors dotting water's border's edge. Skipper shouted, reverse wet river ridge. Illumination dances across the rigid rocky shore. Death demanded visit to icy ocean floor. Warlock fishermen stared at dawn's silky surface. A slashing guarding granite weeps, eyeing ship's lace. Lighthouse laughs at the hourglass dim, sparring beam. Captain poops before traveling, the cashmere dream. In?
don't make me laugh. I don't know what. Sorry about that. Lighthouse laughs as hourglass dim, spiraling beam. Captain poops before traveling to this cashmere dream. Only you would have poop in your lighthouse poem. West Rocky warriors doubting water's bordered edge. Skipper shouted, reverse, wet rudder, reg. Yeah, that was a mouthful. Illumination dances across the ridgy, rocky shore. Death demanded visits to the icy ocean floor. I think you did a great job with this, and I thought you threatened to take alliteration away, but I'm glad you didn't, because when you're done reading, we're usually trying to figure out how we could have read it any better, because you're really, you have the tongue twisters and the sights and the sounds and the wit. It's always a treat to find out what you bring with you, Wayne. And
thank
I
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's hard to escape the alliterations.
No. Some people are, it seems forced, and it's something that shouldn't be tried. But you always do a really great job at writing it and reading it and turning it into something that makes us laugh or cry and everything in between. So don't give up what you're good at. I mean, add to your repertoire, but don't take away what's great. Just saying. And let's see who's next to comment. Hatter, will you comment for Wayne, please?
Yeah, where did you say that lighthouse was? That one in the picture?
I didn't even see where it was from. I just started writing about a lighthouse. I don't know where it's from.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, because some of them back in the day, the first ones were basically castles in themselves rather than just beacon of light. That looks like one of the fortresses. Fortresses.
Pretty secure, it looks like.
Yeah. I got to go with the it must suck to be a captain. I don't mean captain before travelers. Yeah. You can't go around the block. Back then in the boat. I mean, you're gone for a couple of years. Those guys had some balls. Oh, stay in school. There.
Yeah.
Deborah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you could hear me. The lighthouse that Wayne wrote to is the Nubble Lighthouse in York, Maine, Y-O-R-K, Maine. And how about I get a comment from Sweet, please?
Well, Wayne, as usual, you bring the rough and tough life of a captain to life. But all the imagery. The imagery that you bring, the seals, the squeals, the illumination of the rigid rocky shore, the fishermen, the granite weeps, the lighthouse, it's just all so beautiful. So what imagery he has to view as he does the doo-doo. I thought it was beautiful.
And Frank, while I get your poem, will you comment on Wayne, please?
Yeah, by all means. First of all the poems tonight have been really on mark. I really like the way they encompass and personified the prompt. And what I like about this poem here, you know, there is always a superb display of alliteration and rhyme in that Wayne usually has. But I like the way he began with the serene imagery of nature at the beginning. You know, of course, you know, the wit and humor is always there as well, particularly the ending. But I like the way you began as the poem, Wayne, with really the serenity, you know, of that prompt there with the crimson sky, the sunset, and you went on to talk about ebony darkness there, which seems like to be, you know, the common thing, you know. And it really brought a strong imagery throughout this poem. You know, I felt as if I was there present as well, you know, at this place here. You know, you just took me to the place there. And I like the title there, Battling at Seashore. So, you know, it's very, very well written. And I thought it was a well executed piece there and very much personifying the prompt there.
Thank you, Dave. Good film. I appreciate it. Get well soon.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. I'll be okay afterwards.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No more making me laugh. Wayne, you have to read on the board to see what AP wrote for you. And Frank, you read me?
I figured that.
Oh, you don't have the Sun Club.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm sorry. I'll do that now.
All right.
The whispers of mysticism echo with the maritime waves, calling the Celtic sails to return to the majestic Spanish coast, where an old lighthouse stands as a beacon upon a lone promontory, with granite ashlars facing the great depth of the Atlantic Ocean. A Galician nettle blossoms awake with sacred winds of the past, brushing the rock carvings of the Roman stones of a dormant cemetery, as the mighty breath of Zeus blows over the listless crags and shale. Hidden myths exist in the sturdy facade of an ecstatic beauty. Hark to the swashing sounds of the restless tides bustling, as they seek to serenade the fading glow of the lighthouse. When the day is still virginal and the rays of the sun have not shone, nor do the cerulean waters of the ocean reach a full crescendo. The wings of gulls are seen above the puffy mass of somber clouds. Winds, the souls of a nearby cemetery, arise to greet the voyage of the sailors travelling through the endless mouth of legends. Yonder, the horizon approaching with the melancholic mist. Thither stands the Tower of Hercules.
That I was sitting here looking at what the different views were.
if I can say very.
So that explains why.
Yeah, very.
The statue just looks
very
so
briefly.
Old. I'm sorry. Say that again.
No, I was going to say if I can say very briefly a little history here. The references that I use in this poem here are references to a bit of Greek mythology we know about Hercules. And then, of course, there is an attachment of history, of Roman history. Originally, this lighthouse was built upon during the Roman epoch, Roman era. So there is much history to this. And this little place here, it's a province or a state, La Coruña, is on the northwest part of Spain. So I just wanted people to know a little bit about, other parts of Spain. And it's a beautiful province. So anyone gets a chance to go out there, there is a lot of history and particularly fairy tales, the lore in there. But it's a beautiful, beautiful province there. And this is just one of those remarkable monuments that still, attests to the time, to the passing of time. So I wanted to give an homage here in this poem here to the history, to the mythology and all of that which is incumbent, of this particular area and of the lighthouse.
I think you absolutely captured that.
Oh, one last thing. La Coruña, I'm sorry, is a city. It's a city, the province is Galicia, I'm sorry. La Coruña is a city and the province is Galicia.
Before I get the next comment for you, let's welcome Crystal. Crystal. Hey, Crystal.
Hi,
hey,
guys.
Crystal.
Hey, doll. Glad you're
Hello.
Here. Let me get some more comments for Frank. Wayne, will you comment for Frank, please?
Frank, you have a great vocabulary, and your poems say so much on every topic. Right about. I think you're a real scholar of many topics. The poem is probably no exception. The reader is wonderful. The storyline presented was informative while entertaining. Great, another great job on this poem, and I enjoyed it a whole lot. Good job, Frank.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, there, my friend. It's good to see you. Good to hear from you again.
You too.
Awesome comment. Awesome comment. AP, can you comment for Frank, please?
Well, this is the oldest lighthouse in the world. This was built by the Romans in the first century AD, completely refurbished in 1791. How's that? You have a complete refurbishment of something 300-odd years ago, and it's still there and working. It's the second largest lighthouse in Spain, and it was built at, the start of the millennium by the Romans. It's a remarkable piece of architecture and It's UNESCO certified as one of the great wonders of the world, and it absolutely makes sense that Frank then went back and talked about the Roman stones and the listless crags and the facade of aesthetic beauty, which has been there for more than 2,000 years, and so it's a remarkable structure, and I think you picked up the sense of that and the gravity of the piece really well.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir. And it is a patronage of UNESCO. Many of these places here in Spain, if anyone gets a chance, you have a lot of these monuments that are, under the patronage of UNESCO.
I liked it.
Great comments. I also want to say, AP, you're Mr. Antique. I put the photo on the board because I think you might appreciate the statue and the fact that you can look at it and tell that it's extremely old in the photo.
Yes.
Anyway, let me get a comment from Crystal. Did you hear Frank's poem or you just got here?
I just got here.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to check. Sweet, can you comment for Frank?
Yes, I actually thought it was beautiful. I thought it was eloquent and a beautiful read. I thought it was very nice to hear you kind of soothe and lull us through this history instead of, screaming at me and scaring the hell out of me. It was a nice change. It was a place I wanted to go. It wasn't the hell of Hades. Even though it's kind of a dark place, it's kind of sad and somber, and you respected that throughout this whole poem. But it was genuinely fascinating, and you brought all that history into light, and you know you did it so beautifully and with wonderful vocabulary and words, and just kind of made me just sit back and enjoy your voice and enjoy the poem and enjoy the place you had taken us to. Very well done, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I know that you're running out of time there, Deb, and I have to go, but I just wanted to say it's always great to see you back. You're sorely missed. And everyone, enjoy your night. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Frank. It's good to be back. Appreciate it. Hope your ear feels better.
Always. Always a pleasure.
Hey, Frank.
Take care. Take care, my friend.
See you later, Frank.
Good night. And Wayne has to go, too. Wayne, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. And let me let Sky in the room. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here.
Hey, Sky.
Okay,
hello.
Now, I think I'm going to get Hal to read, and then... then Crystal, then Sky, and then Sweet One to read for Hatter, and then I think that's all I can handle. I'm sorry, but I'm getting kind of tired. But I'm Hal, I put your poem on the board. Could you read for us, Nick?
Yes. And I love it because I can actually read now because I got glasses, so I can actually read my poems now. It's so nice.
So.
Anyway, okay, so this poem is actually from, it's the Tacking Point Lighthouse in Australia. I chose this because I was really drawn to what lighthouses can really symbolize a lot more than just what they are on land, but basically what they can do in relationship with the light that we receive from the heavens and that kind of stuff too. So I kind of made it twofold. So... the name of the poem is called The Helmsman. It begins, pages softened by hand-aged ivory, hold your weight in quilting revolutions, glacial grooves scored by time, invisible bullets of alabaster, rays revealing, black shale rivers breathe in turquoise retreating, a night eye that blinks down, masonry washed with lime. Opposites ransom, the swells hidden. Oblong outburst, dredged to scorch. Each star a discussion. Glimpse of vacillation in numbered progression, sparking communique. Broadcast walking with angels in a 360 reach. Universal conflation is defunct of the figure, fog motionless on the sideline band. Underground, blink, ruby firefly toward Orion's full moon. Language cycles beyond the earth's wind. Bell buoys, scuttlebutt painted in the mouth of the storm. Nebulosity, drunk up like milk, sits and brews alone. Tactile sky, captains chasing auroras crystalline red. Fire touched the sea, the seal's concave bone. Manta fragments shadow a trail of kisses. Cold jitters hum and separate the swab off her lips. She clenches her mouth, its light weak and fluttering. Drenched dark, plankton manted her hair to her crown. Neon currents become cautious, wind and surge, universe mending upon the lighthouse helm. A heliotropic incline tunnels across the ocean floor. Headlands waterfront, light steers free. End poem.
Well, I must admit, it was nice to hear you read your own poem.
Thank you.
The Helmsman, Glacial Grooves Scored by Time. I like the thought of that, scored by time. And what was the other? Night Eye, that blinks down, masonry washed with lime. The wording is awesome there, and the glints of vacillation, this numbered progression, sparkling communique, sparking communique, broadcasting, walking with angels in a 360 reach. I am absolutely taken by the broadcasting, walking with angels. I love that part. and nebulosity drunk up like milk sits and broad broods alone. What's the other thing? She clenches her mouth, its light weak and fluttering, drenched, dark, plankton matted, her hair to her crown. The descriptions are incredible here. And what's the other thing that got me? Cold jitters hum and separate the swab of her lips. So many great nuances here. A heliotrope inclined tunnels across the ocean floor. I thought you did a great job because you took us from the sky and the peak where the lighthouse is all the way down into the ocean was it plankton that you used? I forget now. Damn.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and so, like I said, from the sky to the bottom of the sea, and for covering so much ground, and compared to some of your writes, this is more of a brevity, but you still packed it in with great visuals and information. I thought it was awesome, and I like I said, I'm
trying to work on.
I'm still taken by those angels for sure. It's a beautiful share.
Thanks.
And I appreciate you calling and reading. And don't lose your glasses. Let me get you some comments.
I know.
Hatter, can you comment?
Yeah, just a question. You mentioned her. Now, is that the boat, the storm, or the lighthouse?
That's the lighthouse.
It is the lighthouse. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a great, great reference to that. Trying to find nebulosity drunk up with the milk sits and broods alone. Tactile sky. That wasn't it. Anyway, it was a great description of it. I lost that if you meant what the she was. It clarifies now. It makes a lot more sense. It was a nice job.
Thank you, Hatter. I appreciate that.
AP, can you comment?
Yeah, look, lovely use of words, Blue. I really liked two bits. The first, the black shell rivers breathe in turquoise retreating, I think is a lovely way to talk about a night sky coming across and do it in a way that's unusual and different. And I also, like one of the commenters, really loved the use of the heliotropic incline tunnels across the ocean floor, the sense of following the sun. And that linkage to the sun and then back to the moon about how the waves and how the waters move. And I thought that was it's just not using the word, it's using the word in its appropriate term and place and giving it just extra meaning. It's very, very clever.
Thank you, AP. I appreciate that.
Awesome comment. And if I could get a comment from Crystal. Crystal?
Crystal? Are you there, Crystal?
Yeah, I thought I was getting myself
off
of mute. Yeah, now I get to back to the phone. I'm sorry. Yeah, I really like this a lot. One thing I always can say about your writing is the description. I'm always blown away by whether it is a long or a short writer or whatever. But this one definitely no exception. I did like the line that Deb pointed out, but I do love it ending in the beginning. Oh, yeah, the black rivers that turn into turquoise. I think it was something. Yes, I found it. Okay. Yeah, that one, I really liked how that sounded from turning the black into like this bright, vibrant color. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of blown away by this, too. I think you did a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Crystal. It's so great to hear you again. Thank you for calling in.
Awesome comment. And, Sky, can you comment and then read yours for me?
Yes, Stephis is excellent. And I really like how you brought in the critters of the sea and the coastline when you talk about, you know, the seal's concave bone and then the manta fragments. And I liked how you just saw beyond the picture as well by capturing, bringing it to life more than just what's in the painting, but seeing within. And I also, you know, I love the colors you provided. And I think mostly the storyline, I think I was pretty taken with the storyline. Very well done.
Thank you, Sky. It's good to hear you again, too. I appreciate the comment.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, this is an IOU for Miss Deborah Lee. I do have my lighthouse saved. Don't worry. I will write for you some at some time. This is called A Dragon Tonic Gin by Sky Darkoon. There is a draconian bewitched trick of a brew, conjured by wand-wielding, wizarding shrews, or perhaps it is tasked with a sorceress that spell casts those conjuring coverns that practice potion drafts. A poetic presto like Vernian Hydra of a mythical past, or is it the charm of an enchantress somniferous whisk, the blend of a sleeping Albanian bola craving manbisk? I suppose it doesn't much matter which of those magic dragon blood hatters laced alchemy and amulet and heart flaskets that can't shatter, for in the end, if one is mixed with the right ingredient list, frogwort, tongue of bat, and a dead man's liver, one with not a lot of fat but a plenty of liquor, two pinches of paprika and one jam toe, no, not the one that is gnarled or dislocated, or the smelly funk that gathers like the gunk of water-drowned feathers in pillowcases, but a lathered strawberry jam kind of toe that likes sweets. But to refocus, if you put all these things together and recite the words hocus-pocus, you might see a transformation, a configuration of scale-like wings, those brilliant and beautiful guardians that once called themselves kings. There, of course, are different variations, cryptic ciphers one must never tell readers, those secret sorbets that make everything just a little bit sweeter. This is just one of the many brews to choose, the ingredients that lie therein, a dragon tonic gin. End poem.
Oh.
Oh, you definitely had fun with this one, I can tell. Well, I can feel pieces of your witchery in here, wizardry, a little bit of Potter influence maybe. Or is it the charm of the enchantress? Where was that part? Here we go. Frogwort, tongue of bat, and a dead man's liver. One with not a lot of fat, but plenty of liquor. Two pinches of paprika and one jammed toe. Was that part for Steven? I have to know.
You just rhymed.
I know. I just realized
well,
that to you.
I kind of took the jam, and then I went strawberry jelly. So it was kind of, it was like a twist on words. But
oh, well, I just keep thinking about him, and he does the thought of toes or fingernails and toenails being ripped off, and I thought maybe you were poking Steven a little bit there.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to play on that now.
Uh-oh. Cat's out of the bag now. Put some nails ripped off in your palm and you got them. That's my desensitization for him now. Those secret sorbets that make everything just a little bit sweeter. I don't know about that. Back at that, I keep going back to the toe jam. This is one of many brews. Choose the ingredients that lie therein, a dragon tonic gin. I don't know, but it better turn me into a brainiac that knows all the lottery numbers for the next 2 months for me to even take a sip to see what that might taste like, because it sounds kind of gross. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Deb.
I think you did a great job with it, but like I said, what struck me most was the fact that I could tell you had a really fun time with it. And 3 months, I didn't realize it got postponed for so long, so well worth the wait. Thank you so much. I'm glad you brought this, and I'll look forward to see what you do with your lighthouse at another time. Brilliant show.
Thank you.
Make you get you some comments. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, this was, you started off, it was very well written. I really enjoyed the differences of your rhyming structure. Then about halfway down, you started with the tastes and the smells and the wet feathers. That was a good one. The pillowcases and then the lathered the strawberry jam, kind of told it like sweets. Very good. I'd like it in the comment, when the poet wars start, I want you on my side.
Thank you, Hatter.
Awesome comment. Hal, can you comment for Sky?
Oh, I would love to, Deborah. Yes, I mean, I think between the, I want to mention the feather pillow again. That was actually a good one. Also, where you went with the toe jam, that would go with the cashmere poop from Wayne Jets. So that goes with that one. So that's the link. That's the link to the lighthouses in the show. That's where that's at. So I just wanted to make that link just for everybody with this poem. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think I've heard too many really, really comical ones from you, Sky. So this is definitely different for me to hear, or maybe, you know, be on the show to hear. So I definitely did enjoy this and, you know, what you do with it. And I'm glad you had fun with it, because I know so many times, you know. And also, is this like something that you drink, like after you get off work, or how do you do this at home?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I thank you, though. I did have fun with it. Deb gave it to me at, like, I don't know, 11:30 at night. And then I was up, and I stayed up late, and I was done with it in, like, 2 hours, way past my bedtime. And she's like, aren't you supposed to be in bed? I'm like, I know, but I had to write this right away.
I can't do a poem in two hours. So, yeah, this is pretty good to come up with in 2 hours. I give you congrats on that. That's really good.
Yeah, I don't know if it was 2 hours, but something like that. It was very soon. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was the end of my commenting.
Great comment. Before I get another comment for Sky, I forgot to mention Blue, when you read yours, congrats on the front page pick.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sweet, can you comment for Sky, please?
Okay. We've had a lot of discussions about this on privately, so I want to make sure that there is a drink, and if there's not, Sky and I are going to invent one. We're not sure what we're going to put in it. Well, we know it's going to start on the bottom.
Can I hold the toe jam on mine?
We're going to put something in it, but it ain't going to be real toe jam. So it's going to be some kind of spicy liquor or some funky liquor. Maybe licorice, I don't know. But I do love this poem. I love the imagery. I love everything about it. I love dragons like she does. But the idea of this whole thing going through here, I think Sky's a rock star, and it's like the most adult child poem I've ever read. So it's like forever young kind of thing. Like we all want to still be children, but we all still, you know, but we don't want anybody to take away our alcohol control. So that's why I tell them about it.
Thank you, sweet.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. Hatter, you want to comment for Scott?
I thought I did, didn't I?
Did you? Oh, okay. Like I said, I'm sorry. I'm a little off my game.
Right.
How about
okay,
let me see who we still have with us. How about if I get Crystal Hope to comment and then read her poem for us?
For one, Sky, you have completely and utterly ruined strawberry jam for me. Thank you. As soon as I read that, I was like, I love strawberries. Why do you have to put a toe in it? Why? It's my first initial thought. But, yeah, I'm going to agree with Deb on this about you. Like, the whole time you were reading it, I just heard, like, laughter in your voice pretty much. And it made me think of, like, the time when we were, of course, like, writing about the Chevron duck and stuff. You had that same type of enjoyment in your voice, and I loved hearing it. But, yeah, this really is very clever and very witty and stuff. And just how you came up with all of this, I have no idea. But definitely sounds gross. But I think you did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Crystal.
Awesome comment. And hold on for 1 second before you read, Crystal. Sky, did you want to push your next?
Yes, what am I doing? I am a Saturday night, 8 Eastern Standard Time, because I am an early bird. We are doing the film, the 1980s film, The Last Unicorn. It is also based on a book that I really, really love and enjoy. I have the physical copy of. I just love it. You could write to any of the scenes, themes, characters, quotes. Of course, the quotes, you can go anywhere you want. Even if it's off topic, as long as you tell me what quote you wrote to. And there's going to be a lot of music in that one because I love the songs in the film. There's going to be a little, there's a great Christopher Lee monologue because he does one of the voices, Angela Lansbury. So check some scenes out. Have some fun. I'll see you at 8. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you, Sky. And Miss Crystal, will you read your poem for us?
I will. First, I want to point out how professional Sky just sounded right there, like we really were a real radio show or something. She was like, thank you.
Hey, we're
you,
real
Deb.
Radio shows. Wait your tongue.
All right. This is called Sinking Ship. Foggy mist unraveled her fingers, brushing the rusty ivory shingles. An ocean breeze kissed her cheek with a salty melon dew that made her tingle. Cookie crumbled boulders sanded her toes with soaked ridges scratching her naked feet. A morning sunrise awakened a warm glow, dusting her shoulders with a feeble heat. Wandering waves bathed her ankles as she stumbled up a rocky hill. Shadowed stairs her legs wobbled on. At the top, her ears heard the wind's whistle shrill. Her short brunette locks slipped her face as the tassels of her dress tickled her hips. A sea of sickness washed over her as she journeyed for the sinking ships. End poem.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Cookie crumbled boulder sanded her toes with soaked ridges scratching her naked feet. A morning sunrise awakened a warm glow, dusting her shoulders with a feeble heat. But, you know, there's something about those cookie crumbled boulders and sand. Sometimes the little pieces of sand feel like a boulder, so the cookie crumbled pieces seem to go really perfectly there. And the soaked ridges scratching naked feet, scratching your feet, I mean, my goodness, wandering waves bathed her ankles as she stumbled up a rocky hill. the end, as the tassels of her dress tickled her hips, a sea of sickness washed over her as she journeyed for the sinking ships. There's so much pain and sadness in there. Back towards the beginning, a morning sunrise awakened a warm glow, dusting her shoulders with a feeble heat. But I guess if you're that cold, you know, the heat would be feeble because it's not really going to warm you up. So there's so many different aspects of this. I just, you know, I'm going to have to find out what's, you got a lot of sadness that you've been penning lately. And I hope it's therapeutic, but I feel bad. And then you shared something with me, and then I got sick, and I haven't been able to talk to you about it, and I do want to. Maybe that's part of what's going on, but the visuals and the feel of this is so powerful, and her short brunette lock swept her face as the tassel. I mean, there's just, I could picture everything you were describing, and I think that you did a really awesome job with this. The rhyme, the flow, the story, the visuals. And again, not a whole lot of words, just four small stanzas, but you really, really gave us something to think about and hit for those sinking ships. Well, the imagery is really incredible, Crystal. It's an awesome share. I'm so glad you were able to call. Let me get you some comments. Blue, do you want to comment for Crystal? Hal?
Okay, I'm here. Okay, I fixed it. Sorry. Right. I did comment a little bit, but really if you put what she talked about into the picture, you know, between what's in the sky and between what the fog is and what it can like really, really demonstrate and that kind of stuff, especially in like the relationships and different things like what you were talking about, Deborah, then that really puts a lot of the picture and a lot of the story into a lot of perspective. Does that make sense? Maybe it doesn't. But
that's me.
Okay. Right. But yeah, because you have the fog and maybe the fog is on the sand when on the beach and she can't see where she's walking. You know what I mean? So those crumbly pieces and things like that are gonna get, you know, in between her toes and things like that just because, you know, she can't see because we can't exactly see how far the fog really does go up compared to the beach unless you get a closer picture. So little things like that, you know, that you can just like, you can look back at the picture, you can look at some of the words, and you can just like kind of read in between the gray areas with what she's trying to put in this brevity that she did so well. So that's what I want to expand upon a little bit more besides what I wrote to you earlier, Crystal. So thank you for the write.
Thank you. I liked your thought.
Awesome comment. Heather, will you comment for Hope?
Yeah, okay. Another dumb question, I guess. Okay, her climbing to the top, and where she said, that's the lighthouse. You're describing her, the lighthouse to climb to the top of the mountain, the top of the hill. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, dusting her shoulders with the feeble heat. I thought it was an excellent reference to what a lighthouse is. I don't think we have any idea how important that was to a sailor, knowing nautically where they were approaching shore during the storm and not seeing a light, and then all of a sudden being able to see it to tell where they were. To not see it meant you're going to be smashed up against the rocks, and that never ended good. I thought that was a wonderful way to describe it. It was a great piece, Hope.
You got it on the nose, Hatter, pretty much. I was kind of making it where she was thinking about the sinking ship. What if the lighthouse hadn't actually worked? But you got on the dot.
Can I say something real quick to add on to Hatter's
real quick, that nobody has actually mentioned at all in what I've been listening to about the lighthouses, is that you have to think about it, especially the early lighthouses, especially like when Frank was on, a lot of times the ships couldn't go that close to shore. The rocks didn't come out that far, but the ships couldn't go that close. So still, even in the fog, they're sitting there rowing with their men in their rowboats, getting to shore, probably with just lanterns to see through the fog, you know, at least to the base of where the lighthouse is. So that adds probably another twist to some of the stories behind some of these lighthouses. I just wanted to kind of like throw that out there.
Awesome.
Yeah, the sea is basically to pushing you to shore the whole time. You have to know you're getting close. You're at the mercy of the sea, of the ocean. To be able to see it, it was a godsend.
Great comment. And Sweet, can you comment for Kristen? Stay in Paris.
Yes, I thought it's beautiful, the imagery, like she always does. I love cookie crumbled boulders sand at her toes. I just think that particular line kind of grabbed me. From boulders to cookie crumble, and then just to be able to put them through your toes, I think it's so powerful. I just really like that line, Crystal. Thought it was really incredible imagery. And I also like tassels of her dress tickles her hips. I thought that was really another great line. So there's just a lot of really great lines of imagery that I liked throughout here. Everybody else kind of has said a ton of what you were going through here. So I just picked a few of my favorites. And as usual, you just have this spark of imagery about you, and it just brings everything to life and makes people just fall in love with what you write.
Thank you, Sweet.
Wow.
Awesome comment. And see here. Okay. I put the poem by Marius on the board, and he sent me a SoundCloud. And I'm just realizing as well that he shaped it. And you can vividly see his lighthouse in the print. That in itself is really awesome. If you click on that, I will push play.
I am a lighthouse, proud and tall, ignoring all the waves. Inside the chambers of my soul is peace. I do not care how badly the stormy sea behaves. His songs of love and mercy never cease. My keeper helps me daily. My light is always on. My eyes have seen the glory of the resurrected Lord. In the darkest hour, right before the dawn, the mighty storm is silent at his majestic word. I warn so many ships at sea of the great danger. I show the light, the safety to the port. I guide them to the one born in the manger, to the true, the way, the life, the strongest port. I am a lighthouse standing on the rock of ages, the light for all that hopelessly roam. Hope in all the storm that rages, I safely lead the sailors to the home.
Wow, that was awesome. I love his voice. Yeah, and his pronunciation. I really love listening to him read. I am a lighthouse, proud and tall, ignoring all the waves inside the fingers of my soulless peace. I love the start. I love everything about the beginning. And he just formatted it so beautifully. Like I said, between the words and his voice and the format, and the content. What an outstanding piece. And then there was something in the tone of the music in the background as well. The glory of the resurrected Lord in the darkest hour, right before the dawn, the mighty storm is silent. And then as the A brings it back full circle, I am a lighthouse standing on the rock of ages. The leap for all is hopelessly wrong. Hope in all, the storm that rages. I safely lead the sailors to the home. And that ending is a reminder of the major importance that lighthouses played. And even if we don't need them to navigate anymore, I really think that we should do everything we can to maintain them and keep them in their glory, because they're incredible. Marius, this was an excellent poem. I enjoyed it very much. I'm thrilled with the video. I'm very impressed with the shape, and I appreciate it very much. Let me get you some comments. Crystal, any comments for Mary?
Yes. For one, I do love the shape as well. I have tried shape poems in the past, and hence when I say the past, because I don't even want to attempt. But I love that he did that, though, with the way of looking at his lighthouse. I do love the beginning of this, too, talking about being a lighthouse. But I think the part that I love the most is the ending. The light for all to hopelessly roam, hope in all the storms that rages, I safely lead the sailors back to home. So it really just displays and describes it well of what a lighthouse does, is that oftentimes you can't see, there's a light that's always going to shine some way or another. And it's what it says, like, no matter the most craziest storms that will ever be out there and stuff, you always have to just try and look for the light, even if it's, you might be looking in the wrong direction, but eventually it'll shine through, and that's where the hope in the storms come. But yeah, I think that this is just really powerful and moving, and I like that, like I said, I like that he spoke of it, like saying that he was the lighthouse, and I really liked that thought. So great job on this, Mary.
Awesome comment. Hatter, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was wonderfully written and read. It was a great recording, SoundCloud. As far as the picture of the lighthouse there, that's one of the most famous lighthouses. That thing's been totally encrusted in ice. There's pictures of it. That way, I don't know if it's the North Sea or where exactly that is. I thought it was Portugal, but I don't know if it's that high, that low. But that's one powerful structure and well written. Most impressed.
Awesome comment, my sweet.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to get there.
Why, you do, Hatter? That's right here in Barnegat, New Jersey.
It's where?
Right here in New Jersey. It's in Barnegat.
Was that right?
That's the one that's the one that Marius wrote to. Yeah.
First off, I love listening to Marius. His voice is gorgeous. I have worn so many ships of the sea, great danger I shall light. The safety port, I guide them to the one worn in the manger, to the light. The way of life, the strongest fort. I love how he did the personification of the lighthouse, like telling them, this is what I am, this is who I'm going to do, and I'm going to bring you home. I thought that was really a great way to do it. His poem was lovely, but I really truly enjoyed that part of I am the lighthouse, come to me, and the way he did it in, you know, the personification of lighthouse as personification of the Savior. I thought that was quite well done.
Sorry, there's some comment. Okay. So here's where we're at, guys. I was going to try and finish these out. I've got only half slide left, right. but I can't. So what I want to do is I will message them as well, but I want to tell Angel and Phil and Lee and Gerald that I'm moving homes over to Wednesday night at 9. And I apologize. I just don't have any energy left to try and stay any longer. I don't want to get sick again, so I'm going to thank you for sending them, and I'm going to tell everyone that tomorrow night at 11 is Raconteur's show, and he wants to know what you see in the dark, whether it be metaphorical or literal. What is it that you see or feel in the dark? I'm trying to find the topic so I don't sound like such. There it is. Okay, just make sure I get the wording right. What do you see in the dark, literal or figurative darkness? Do you listen to your eyes or do you trust your gut? So that is his topic for tomorrow night at 11. I hope to see you there. And then again, we will do, even if we just do another hour, I'll do the remaining poems from tonight. And I want to hand the mic to Sweet now. Sweet, before you read for Hadal, I would love you to coax some people into writing for your amazing topic for Thursday. So will you tell us all about that, please?
Okay, so Thursday night, I have my show and I also have a contest running about the Marshall fires. Colorado just went through a great deal of tragedy here. The 6,000-acre Marshall fire in Boulder County, Colorado. I cannot express how horrifying this fire was. It was so fast and so instantaneous. It is amazing that our first responders were able to get people out of their homes. I have some pictures up, and if you're able to look at the pictures, either on my board or in my contest, you will see this fire went through. There are pictures where neighborhoods do not exist, and I mean houses are ashes on the ground. One of the stories I can tell you is if you know anything about animals, animals run. Animals run when they feel fire, smell fire, whatever. I had a friend of mine who lost their dog, and they were worried that the dog suffered. They found their dog in their bed. They just found the remains of the body. The dog was still in his bed. That shows you how fast the fire went through these homes. Dogs do not lay in their beds and decide to die. This dog had no idea that that fire was upon him. He just simply perished in the fire. As of right now, there are no lost lives. They are still missing a few people, but they have not determined any lost lives. It's a 10,000, 15,000 for gold, 10,000 for silver, and 5,000 for bronze, with $1,000 going each of my honorable mentions. But it's right to what your heart feels, just looking at the pictures for these people. And that's what's going on. I would love anybody to write for it, just because it affects me and my friends and my community and some of the animals that I love. So that is the Marshall Fire in Boulder County. Literally just taking out people's homes to nothing in moments. Just an incredible story, incredible human spirit that we're fighting against and fighting for. And that's what it's all about. So please write.
The pictures are heartbreaking, Sweet. I was following the story. I think a big portion of it was going on while you were trapped in a blizzard with your mother-in-law, and I was really worried about how close it might have been to you at the time.
Yeah.
So I expect it to be a really powerful show, and I'll see you then. Now,
yeah.
I did put Hatter's comment there if you want to read that one for us.
Yeah, that's Hatter's. And then I have a poem for Hatter.
So, Hatter, do you want to read yours?
Sure, we've got time. Yeah.
Yeah, I want you to read yours, and then I'm going to read one for you.
Okay.
It's on the blue letter.
Okay. It's called Sympathy Pains. So, like, how do you catch something over the phone? That day I remember you not feeling well. Somehow it found me here, as far as I could tell. Oh, Lord, do I really have it? Did I catch it over the phone? How could this ever be when I'm always home alone? The next 2 days were ugly, and I wondered if you felt the same. I got a little more bitchy, you a little more tame. The days are getting longer, and the nights I'll pray for you. Me with a stinking head cold and you with the pandemic flu. I will always be here for you, whether it's snow, sleet, or rain. I will always do what big brothers do and take away your pain. So sympathy this and sympathy that and anything about your health, because if you're having morning sickness, please keep it to yourself.
Oh, my God. Don't make her laugh. Oh, my God, I love this. But I don't think you caught it over the phone.
Yeah, no, I...
Oh, my God,
no. I know. He was saying today that can't believe we were sick at the same time. And I was like, yeah, totally on a different coast, but
I was wondering.
I know, right? No one here, I got him sick on the phone. But how did this
I think
off?
You did get sick on the phone, because you guys talk a lot. This is wonderful.
Yeah, but no, I like that. I got a little more bitchy and you a little more tame. I think you have that backwards. I'm pretty tame most of the time, but when I'm sick, I'm a grumpy bitch. I can't stand myself.
I had a different. I had it worded differently, but I couldn't use the way I had it.
Uh-oh. I'm almost
this
afraid
is beautiful.
Yeah, this is really
this is
awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think we have anybody else in the studio but the three of us. I'm not sure. But if we do, let me know.
Yeah, no, it's just the three of us. But that's
okay,
awesome, Hatter. Thank you.
So, we had a prompt last week, and I wrote it. And I wrote for Hatter because the prompt is an hourglass with a tag on it that says, bury me. Just like it says, eat me, drink me on all the other bottles in Alice in Wonderland. So, obviously, I wrote an Alice poem for you. So I had to read it.
Okay.
Because the little bottle says, bury me on it. So this is bury me to last week's prompt. Alice spoke to the black swan and wept, for in the no-clock wonderland world, all her birthday candles counted and kept. For all the paths she had walked, listening to a queen demean and shout, watching purple flowers grow, sing, and talk. A Tweedledee and Dum forever stayed young until an older woman, Alice, did grow in a place where a caterpillar never stopped smoking for fun. Alice followed her faded, it should be fate, and climbed into the hourglass. Hatter's voice whispers in her head, teardrop-soaked blue dress. Her blonde hair and petite frame trickled away too fast. She had read all the tags during the drink me potion that made her cry. She was small and tall. Now in her heart lays a final note. Bury me to her Hatter. A goodbye. And
oh. You're good.
Oh,
I couldn't help it. It was just perfect.
Man.
Never.
I know I'm fucking old too. She had read all the tags to drink me, potions that made her cry. She was small and tall, now on her heart lays a final note. Bury me. To her Hatter, a goodbye. Oh my goodness, sweet. But it does
I always thought at the end, Yeah, I always thought the other way.
Photo. A Tweedledee and Dumb forever stayed young. My goodness.
Yeah.
And Alice grew up. Oh, man, that's so sad, sweet. What a brilliant take on that prompt. And I didn't even think about him with Wonder Woman, but man.
Oh, the second I saw it, I was like, oh, that's an Alice poem, a heartbeat. Because she always has those eat me, drink me throughout the whole story. And I was like, oh my God, that's so perfect. I'm not happy with this poem. I keep working on it. So it'll still be worked on. I love that tag.
I do that too. I've got a couple that I keep tweaking and bring it out now and then, reread it.
Yeah. I was like, ah. And then you were sick, and I'm like, oh, no, God, I have to wait for Hatter. Yeah.
Thank you, sweets.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, both of you, go to bed.
All the time,
I'm putting you to bed.
Them, huh?
Yeah.
That's a rock star. Yeah, all right. I tell you four poems, but I don't have any to give right now. I gotta lay down. But I appreciate
yeah,
everybody. I'll send the four notes, and then I'm gonna chill. In the meantime, since we just heard an Alice poem, I think that we should let Shinedown take us out. Hunter, say something about Shinedown.
Yeah. Shinedown, it's a group from Florida, started redone in 2001, formed a new group with the Alex Smith, the lead singer. They've got a great sound, and this is one of the best songs.
Thanks. Love and respect, everyone.
Can ever hurt you, or so they say. good. You see?
Nice job, Al.
Night, guys.
Bye, Deb.